Well, let me ask you a question to get things started. How do you determine the worth of something when the value of things in our world is constantly changing? If you think about it, real estate, cars, airline tickets, even COVID tests can be worth something one day, and then in a very short time, they can be worth something very different. I remember the first time that I bought a car, my first car, it was worth about $15,000 when it came off the lot. A few years later, I tried to sell that car. It was around the time when Kelly and I, we were thinking about moving to the Bahamas, and we were starting to divest ourselves of things that we owned so we'd travel with less. And we were trying to put on the market. I was very saddened to find out that my $15,000 car now had a depreciated value of just $5,000. And I was unable to find a buyer for the car, so I decided that I should try to import it into the Bahamas, and we would just use it as a vehicle here. And I was, again, very saddened to find out that whenever I talked to the customs officer about the value of my car, its value had now inflated again to be worth $10,000, and that was the amount that I was going to need to pay duty on. Maybe you've had a similar experience in your life of things of value fluctuating either up or down with time. Well, when we think about the value of things, it's easy to confuse the temporary value of something with the lasting value of things. And so this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to look at two parables, the ones that were read, that Jesus told addressing this very question about determining the worth or the value of something. And how we understand these two stories is important. It's important because it helps us not just to help us to understand who we are and then who God is, but it will also determine how we strive to live our life. So in Matthew 13, where we're going to be spending our time this morning, if you have a Bible, I encourage you to open. We are going to flip to a few different verses. A lot of them will be on the screen, but maybe you're watching at home and don't have access to that. I encourage you to open your Bible to Matthew 13. And where Jesus tells us some stories about what is of value in the kingdom of God. And the first of these stories is about a man who discovers a treasure that's hidden in a field. And we're told that he sells everything that he has in order to buy it. And the second story is very similar, except in this story, there's a merchant. And he's traveling around, and he's in the market for choice pearls, which in Jesus' day would have been even more valuable than gold itself. And in this story, when the merchant discovers what he perceives as a pearl of great worth, he too sells everything he has so that he can buy it and own it, possess it for himself. As with all of Jesus' parables, the most natural question that we need to be asking ourselves after hearing them is, what is the truth about the kingdom of God that Jesus is trying to convey to us? Now, with these two stories, the most common understanding of these parables is that in them, we are the ones who represent both the man in the field and the merchant shopping for the pearls. The treasure and the pearls are therefore symbols. And they're symbolizing the kingdom of God. And they're usually equated with things like eternal life or forgiveness or maybe even salvation. So the lesson, according to this interpretation, is that because these treasures of the kingdom are so obviously valuable, we should be willing to do everything in our power in order to obtain them. Now, in a book on the parables written by pastor and author Tom Hughes, entitled Down to Earth, Hughes does something interesting with that interpretation. He questions the accuracy of that often taught view. He points out the obvious problem with interpreting Jesus' story in that way. is that if we interpret it that way, we, not God, become the heroes in the story. We're the ones doing the seeking. We're the ones finding the pearl and the treasure. And we're even the one purchasing them. Moreover, in other parables, it's notable that when we find something is hidden or covered or lost, like the parable of the prodigal son or the parable of the lost sheep or the lost coin, it's not God who's hidden or lost. It's us. We're the ones who are hidden and lost. So we have to ask the question this morning, is this really the spiritual lesson that Jesus is trying to communicate? Now I would say it's possible, or maybe there's even two meanings here, but I would submit that there's something else going on in this story. If we're not the man and we're not the merchant, then where do we find ourselves in the story? And the answer might surprise you, and I think that the implications this morning might be even more surprising. When you read these parables in the context and you flesh out some of the imagery we find within them, and we're going to do that in just a couple of minutes, I would contend that Jesus wants to see ourselves, and this is kind of the thrust of this morning's lesson, is Jesus wants to see ourselves in these parables not as the man or the merchant, but instead as the treasure and the pearl. Again, Hughes in his commentary on these parables does a good job of fleshing out from other scriptures why this has to be the case. First, notice that just a few verses earlier, and Pastor Bryn read it from verses 34 and 35 in chapter 13 of Matthew. The gospel writer tells us that Jesus taught in parables for a particular reason. He taught in parables to fulfill what was spoken by the prophets when they said this. When the prophets said, "I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world." So we have to ask ourselves, what was hidden since the creation of the world that Matthew tells us Jesus is speaking about when he tells the parables that we just read a couple verses later? And as we'll see, what is hidden is found in the creation itself. Things hidden since the creation of the world. We need to look in Genesis if we want to know what those things are. So let's go there. In Genesis chapter 1, a familiar verse. It says, after God created the earth, created the animals, and then he says this. He says this to the heavenly host. He says, "Let us make mankind in our image." He says, "Let us make them in our likeness so that they may rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." And then we're told, so God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, we're told that God created them. And then if you jump to verse 31, it says, God saw what he had made, and he declares this. He says, it was very good. Now, up until this point, everything else was just good. But whenever he creates mankind, he says, it's very good. In this passage, a couple of things should just really jump out at us that help us to pinpoint the identity of the treasure and the pearl in Jesus' parable. And the first is this, is that mankind is described as very good. And the Hebrew word translated here is good, is a word, a very short word, tov, T-O-V. And it has another possible meaning. It could be translated equally, not just as good, but also as precious, valuable, and even excellent. And the second thing to note is that God declares a man, if you notice, not because of something that Adam had accomplished. He's not good because he did something. But he's good because he's created in the image of God in his own likeness. And then third and finally, we notice that because we are image bearers of God, we're endowed with intrinsic value in God's economy of the kingdom. So what's true about each of us here this morning as you listen to this sermon? What's true about you is no matter how you feel about yourself, whether you think you're doing really well or you think in life you're doing very poorly, your value remains constant. You are precious and you are valuable. And unlike my old car, your intrinsic value as a human being, it doesn't fluctuate. It doesn't fluctuate according to your performance, your age, your looks, the country you descend from, or even your ability or lack of ability. When Matthew tells us that Jesus spoke in parables to explain the things that are hidden since the creation of the world, and then he tells the two stories about a treasure hidden in a field and a pearl of great price, clearly what Jesus has in mind is you and me. You are the treasure in the field. You are the pearl of great price. But if this is the case, why does Jesus insert the detail that we are hidden in the field? And who is the one who sells everything to purchase us? To answer those questions, we again go back to the creation story. In chapter 3 of Genesis, if you remember how things progressed following the creation, you recall that paradise was interrupted. It was interrupted when Adam and Eve were tempted to disobey God by a usurper who was taking the form of a snake. And as a result, Adam and Eve, they began to question the goodness of their Creator. They began to question whether the one who had declared them valuable and excellent and precious truly had their best interest in mind. In the end, we're told that Adam and Eve, they gave in to the doubts, didn't they? They disobeyed God's one decree and they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the result of doing that was catastrophic, not just for them, but for the creation itself. Where up until that point, Adam and Eve, they had only experienced the goodness of God. But now they had experienced evil. And in verses 8 to 10 of Genesis 3, we're told that after experiencing evil, the man and his wife, they heard the sound of the Lord as God was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And what did they do? We're told that they hid from God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord began to seek them. He began to look for them. He says, "Where are you?" And Adam replies, "We heard you, God, in the garden, but we were afraid because we were naked, so we hid." Now, if you're tracking with me so far, the meaning of both things hidden since the creation of the world and the reason why the treasure of God is depicted in Jesus' parable as being hidden in a field should be coming a little more clearly into view. The hiding of Adam and Eve from God because of their guilt and shame is paralleled in Jesus' parable by the description of the location of the treasure. For Adam and Eve, and for us here this morning, there was a destructive inclination that we possess as well, to hide from God in the significant areas of our life. That's how sin affects us. It causes us to want to hide or be hidden from God. I think this quote from Hughes summarizes how these things play out in our lives. And I have a slide for it. It's up there now. It says this. Maybe you can identify with this. God gave us the highest value by making us in His image. When He comes looking for us, our totally false perceptions about Him cause us to hide ourselves from Him. God's plan of sharing His joy with the creatures of His affection created in His image and dearly precious to Him, is challenged by our propensity to doubt that love. Maybe you can identify with this reality. Maybe you know somebody who has embraced this kind of thinking, who rather than turning to God as the source of their value, has instead hidden themselves from God. Maybe in a room this size and those online, this is an accurate description of where some of us are at this morning when it comes to our relationship with God. Now, in my observation, the dangers of hiding from God in certain areas of our life is this. It's that we start to make destructive trade-offs because, like Adam and Eve, we really don't trust that God has our best interest at heart. Now, I have a little picture for you. There's a slide up, and if you can't see it, it's a road, and there's a Y in the road, and there's an arrow pointing one side, a road sign, and then there's one going the other way. And so there's a road that's parting. And I think too often our decision-making process, it starts to look a little bit like this picture. It is a little bit like this picture. There's two choices that we have in our lives, in all different areas, in all different facets of our lives. And they're two very different choices, and they lead to two very different outcomes, two very different locations. Now, I'm a youth pastor, and I work with young people. And working with young people through the Bahamas Youth Network, I see these kind of trade-off decisions happening in their lives all the time. As we get older, sometimes it's not as obvious when we're making, but young people are making big choices all the time. And I see them making decisions, and so often I see two roads before a young person, and they make a trade-off, and they choose the easier, destructive path instead of taking the more difficult, profitable path. But the truth be told, it's not just young people who experience that. For those who are a little older, it might not be as obvious, but we're making those kind of decisions all the time. And rather than run into God's plan for our life, we instead take the easier road and we pursue a more destructive, less profitable path. And the pain that we experience because of these trade-offs is the reason why Jesus tells the second story. He tells the second story not about a treasure that's hidden, that's valuable, but He instead tells a story about a pearl of great price. Now, if you know anything about pearls, they're beautiful, aren't they? They're lovely to look at. Women love to adore themselves throughout history and antiquity with pearls. But it's notable that pearls are the only precious stone that are created out of pain. Through a unique process of nature, beautiful pearls are formed when a little piece of sand gets lodged within the soft tissue of a clam. And the pain triggered by the sand in the clam's tissue causes the clam to excrete a fluid which hardens, and it continues to form another layer and another layer around it until over time you get a beautiful pearl. And through this painful process, these precious stones are produced. These precious stones are made. And by referring to us as pearls, Jesus is doing this, I think, in this story. He's acknowledging the pain that we experience that's caused by these poor trade-offs we make. He's not denying that there's pain in our life, or that we are flawed, or that we are broken. Instead, He affirms it and realizes that that doesn't detract from our value. With the identity, then, of the treasure and the pearl in mind, let's take a minute and just, as we wrap up, let's look at how as these stories end. How do the parables end? What's the conclusion? Well, we're told that the man in the field does what? He sells everything he possesses. to obtain the treasure. And the merchant does the same thing. He sells everything he possesses to buy the pearl of great value. In like manner, God, in His desire to possess us, makes the most astounding trade-off imaginable. He uncovered the shame of our sin by placing it upon ourselves, upon Himself. He took the pain of our poor trade-offs and suffered the eternal consequences of them on our behalf. In short, he traded His own life for our life so that He could have us in His family, that we could be His forever. Notice, because of the justice of God, our Heavenly Father, He couldn't just steal us from the owner of the field. He couldn't just snatch us out of the hand of the pearl dealer. Instead, we see clearly in these stories that a payment had to be made. Something had to be purchased. And if there's one thing that's clear in this story above everything else, there is absolutely no price that God is not willing to pay to possess us. And the great miracle of God is that when we receive this trade-off that God made for us at great cost to Himself, by placing our faith in Jesus Christ, the Scripture tells us this, is that we are unearthed from the grave of sin. We are reborn as children of God. We are washed clean. This dirty treasure, or this pearl that comes out of a nasty clay, we are washed clean by the blood of Christ. And we are clothed in the linen of His grace. That's what the kingdom of God, that's what it's all about. It's about God making a trade-off through His Son to possess us, in affirming our worth before Him and making us His own. So in closing, I want to leave you with a couple of application questions to think about. Some things maybe this week as you're going about your week, and maybe today as you're thinking about the message, or if you're taking notes, to consider. And I frame them in a couple of different contrasts for you. So here they are. They're up on the screen. The first one is this. Is treasure versus trade-off. The question I want you to think about is, how do you perceive yourself this morning? Are you living as a treasure of God, or are you stuck in a destructive cycle of depreciating trade-offs? The second one is this. As you go through your day, think about this. Dirt versus wallet. Where are you located, spiritually speaking, this morning? Are you buried by your sin? Or are you savoring the costly sacrifice of the Savior? And then finally, purchaser versus purchased. Do you tend to see God's love for you and your good standing with Him as something that you have earned? Are you the hero in the story? Or do you see them as a free gift given to you by God's grace according to His good pleasure, purchased by the sacrifice of Christ? Those are the questions to think about this morning, and I hope you ponder upon them. And I hope that you see yourself rightly in the story, not as the merchant or the man, but as the treasure and the pearl. Amen.